Space. This was the final week.
Yeah, for a little while.
Mm-hmm. So you have three extra whole weeks.
Yeah, a little extra.
Mm-hmm. You guys is lucky, as you would say down there.
Wouldn't say it up there too.
No, I wouldn't. I'd say unforeseen circumstances have given you a fortuitous extension.
Yeah.
What's up with the feeling? Like? Just paper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, okay, we've got all that, ready, rock and roll, and you guys are ready for your report, once we resume our channeling sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, as I am, doing this, Chris.
Yeah.
I have, my whip, and I have my, short shorts on, and I have my, waistcoat, and I have my full top hat. So, I'm dialed.
What's that on the whip?
Nothing.
Let's put that little jacket over there.
Huh?
Put that little jacket over there. Shorts, waistcoat, jacket, hat, whip.
That's warm. Don't want me to sweat. Or maybe you do want me to sweat, but not there. Get all sweat and wet and hot and horny. Sweating and wet. It's good too. Okay, where were we? Okay, yes, in all seriousness, as I'm letting my composure slip a little, okay, down to matters concerning, oh, what the hell, let's put on the first speaker, as I am sweaty and wet.
Okay.
Greetings.
Greetings to you.
Greetings, young man. Greetings, other young man.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome. Okay, now we are continuing on answer of fever entries, are we not off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In continuing on relationship between tree fever and of trees. It is necessary to address history of fever and coming. Now, it is speculated, and I emphasize of speculation, that fevers are of immense age. In evolutionary terms, it would be odd saying that they are ascended but not ascended to next level. They are somewhere between the two. If looking at natural progression of going from third to sixth to seventh to eighth, fevers being of somewhere between all but of being none. So, geologists of sixth dimension and higher speculate that evolution would give option for either ascending to next dimensional level or becoming as of like Diva. It's staying in on one dimension but continuing spiritual growth. So it is more of a point of view that is neither confirmable or deniable on what part Divas are being of from. It is certainly a possible theorized that they were once of being third dimensional species, or maybe still being of third dimensional species. But to speculate on the evolution is something that is of great interest, but only as a debatable topic for discussion amongst learned minds. But it opens all realms of possibles to discuss their evolution. Now, connection with of trees is something that is also of open to discussion. Other kinds of beavers being possible different other races that take their avenue of development into ethereal beings, so that it would be difficult to speculate on different other divas being similar to tree divas. But tree divas are being my interest, as I am interested in all trees. Otherwise, I would not have assumed your convenience name of tree. But it is also for speculation again on why they are thinking of trees or not something other than trees. Trees covering flora and fauna as well of being. So the connection being between tree and diva is a relationship that is debatable for a great length of time, and answers are only speculationary. So that it would be desirable to be opening for you to also join in this of discussion of tree divas and trees on why the relationship being therefore so.
Okay. One thing that comes to mind from what you just said was a relationship that the first colonists had upon their arrival here from Sirius and other places and setting up on Atlantis. The Divas were one of the seven races that came to help set up that.
I am not knowing whether that is being so. All I know is of Sirius.
Explain that to us.
Okay, assuming so.
Okay, so at one point, Divas had a working relationship with the people who were here. And since then, we've seen, of course, stories of them and working with humans as far as in our mythologies, where it's estimated that, you know, Divas are some of our mythological beings that we've encountered and wrote stories on. And then we see in current times, places like in Stonehenge in Scotland, where they work with Divas on a natural progression base, as helping them to grow things. Not tree Divas as much as others. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that, you know, it's still a continuing working relationship that we have with them. Is this why then it's important for us to realize our relationship with them and try to maintain that?
Yes, I am thinking that it would be suitable to continue such relationships. Divas have much of offering. As for their evolution, as I stated, it is open of debatable matter that they are
a step in a different direction in evolution. The connection that some beavers have with trees and flora and fauna is something that, again, is debatable but useful to continue that relationship as a third-dimensional species being you with the beavers.
From the way it appears to me, the third-dimensional people have lost contact with the beavers, the majority of them, because they've become city dwellers. And they're not aware of what's going on. They've kind of lost that contact, that spiritual contact with the beavers of trees and flora and fauna, as you suggested. But they're still there.
Oh yes, they do not go away. They continue doing what they do, but without interaction of the human species. But there are other kinds of beavers other than the ones that care for flora and fauna. There are ones that take care of aquatic life forms, dwellers of the forest, such as the animals you have with the long horns on their heads with many branches. So it would be saying that they have lost connection with the wild countryside beings. However, dealing with of beavers connecting with a city of life, it would be of different.
I'm aware, and I think Russ is too, and Mark, that people are starting to come back to this. They're starting to become aware of what's going on, other than just ignoring it continuously.
I would love thinking so too, as noting in comments in previous sessions that it is of more awareness. But I cover just one species of beaver. There are many other species of beaver.
So it's kind of like each beaver has sort of like, they work within their own species of beaver, and yet they also interact with the other species also to maintain the harmony that they already established.
Yes, as stated in recent of conversations we having. Beavers of fire will often work with beavers of wood.
In other words, they make a harmonic community.
That has been of correct. Pardon my curiosity.
Feel free.
I think we should be asking if I may pardon myself on you.
One thing that comes to mind is with the divas and how they work together. They have a sort of, if we were to assume that what we've seen to this point, a perfect community that they work with. They work in harmony with each other. There's no money, no greed, no desire to hurt others, merely to protect. And it's almost as if they're even, they've gone beyond eighth dimension, perhaps, I don't know, and yet still maintain that relationship with third.
To speculate on whether they have progressed beyond the eighth is unknown. They are definitely aware of many different things, but also of different perspectives, which is alien of us, so being saying that they are higher is open to speculation and for theological discussion or other forms of discussion. Certainly they definitely do being of a harmonic balance with each other and of other things. However, to say that they are incapable of harm is something that is again open to all speculation. But you are right in prefacing that by saying that they will protect their chosen avenue of care, such as tree beavers protecting of trees.
Mm-hmm. Now, one clue I'm wondering if, then if I could ask is, if we were to look back on history's mythologies and look at where man has taken their belief systems and perhaps transferred them from the divas to their deities, that we see a little more deeper understanding of how divas work.
I will answer in a moment. I will answer another question first. With divas of others concerning the abodes that city persons dwell in, it would be a different perspective on seeing the interaction with a, let us say, housekeeper that take cares of fires and take cares of water dwellings in the house that is being of constructive and coming to an abode that is compatible for them as well as for third dimensional life forms. Getting to Russ's question, it is possible that beavers are being perceived in some cases as deities. That is being covered before under names of deities that druids are using, and lame of druids. In some aspects, druids are much as we were a long time ago, even before of my thinking of conception. But the relationship with deities and divas is one difficult to pin down because of mentalities and thought processes of divas.
Hmm. Now, have you met a diva before?
Yes, I being had of calling for my garden on.
That's right. And your impression of a diva was the one of love,
great age, and comprehension, but of different perception.
Hmm.
It is much as I have different perception of things as you do. What is plural of you when addressing two persons?
You.
Ah. Okay, I thought of saying yous, but it did not sound of right.
No, you had it right.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So it is of yous that it is different perception for divas of trees and fauna and flora than you use have of them. But working with them is of satisfactory to both mutually beneficial. I answer of your question concerning housekeepers, was that being of adequate? Okay.
Yeah. In other words, it sounds, in my perception, as if they're a steady caregiver.
Yes, that would be one way of describing them, as being a caregiver, not of physical, but of spiritual, being of harmony, keeping spiritually clean as possible.
That'd be kind of a simple way of putting it.
Yeah.
sometimes the most simple way is best explanation. Having of difficulty in explaining in easy terms what I am of knowing makes it hard to word in a way that would be easier to say, as I lack full comprehension of your languages.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, you do a fantastic job. It's just that different people interpret things differently.
I think of correct. I listen to Madam Ambassador and younger sister talk in English, and much talk different than I do.
Mm-hmm.
They talk as you talk because I feel of them thinking in your language. I sadly do not of being able to do so.
You do get your point across.
Well, I'll tell you what, you do a hell of a job.
I am of honor.
You really do.
You have many words that I use, I know of incorrect, but structures of your language is difficult when dealing with many different forms of adjectives, nouns, past tense, pro tense, for tense, past, present, future. It all becomes of very confusing.
Yeah, we've got a very complicated language.
I am thinking much of it being so.
What do I do?
Okay, any more of yes?
No. I think that covers it for this evening.
I thought I'd pick up on one more question.
No.
Okay.
No, thank you, Treebird.
Thank you, Treebird.
You are welcome. Roots and twigs may grow.
Yes.
I do. No.
Yes,
ma'am. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Was your ability to work with the English language helpful? Because yourself and Carter are both twin souls, guys like us.
You guys are twin souls, aren't triple self. Yes, I think it does help.
Because you're able to, you can patch into our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And Carter can patch into mine and kind of grasp the language through me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes it a lot easier.
Yes, whereas Twinbee doesn't have that advantage, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And the fact that, he is very much set in his ways.
Yeah, well, gotta give him credit. He still does one heck of a job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I ever reach his age and, I'm as knowledgeable as he is, or my grandmother, I would be very happy on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, scares the squad out of me trying to learn a new language. At my age. Mm-hmm.
Really? Me too.
And I think that's part of his, ability is to be able to learn new things all the time. Nothing stays stagnant. And the fact that he has the ability to do the very deep dwelling, so therefore he can dwell on learning a language very well. It took me quite a while to learn your language. And then poor Tia, they had to pipe it into her because the vowels and the inflections aren't there, but they're in her language. And if you listen to her, she will, raise her voice and make interesting little sounds that she's talking in English. She will finish sometimes on a higher note than she starts, or she will drop down low as she's talking. And that's because she's putting inflections in the words. Okay. Moving along. You're going to love this one, Skip. Competitive rivalry. My sister and myself have a competitive rivalry that is useful, that we work together as a team, but yet we're competitive and we constantly try to do better than each other. But we know when it is necessary to pull together as a team.
I know of an example of two individuals that are very good friends, almost brothers, that constantly try to outdo each other. It's impossible. Yeah, we've discussed this in the past. And we've talked about the necessary teamwork that will be necessary in the future to work as a cohesive team. And the benefits that this can reap by working together. The competitive rivalry is certainly useful. We know that one person is a far superior hardware and software technician, but we know that another one is a far better picture and graphic artist. Now, these two things are compatible. They can be worked together. And the needs of a graphic artist is very different from a game player or a programmer, are they not?
Yeah, very much so.
So you're talking that one individual is moving into a more specialized area than the other individual, where the twin CPUs are very useful, whereas for you it is not so important.
No, I certainly need that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, well, he's not going to get twin CPUs.
And the other individual's not getting some twin CPUs? Okay.
No, but the point is, we do have Windows 2000 coming out, which is a combination of Windows 98 and Windows 2000,
mm-hmm.
or Windows NT.
Mm-hmm.
So, the twin CPUs at that point, as with the new next generation chips, the Athlon,
mm-hmm.
will be quite necessary at that point, because the new operating system will benefit from the dual CPUs or the new, front side bus.
Mm-hmm. Or even the quad CPUs that some of the more serious studios are using.
I'm sure glad I'm not involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
The only competition I got is with myself.
Show you in here.
Really?
But, now, if you get into using quad CPUs, then you're getting into a totally different form of engineering and technology, that you'll be using accelerating processors that is necessary to keep a constant steady temperature. Now, to overcome this, we come back to the design on space. At this point, space becomes a very important premium because of the setup of the quad CPUs. So therefore, you have to minimize the storage capabilities into a much more usable form, and you get into specialized kind of hard drive.
Well, isn't this where we come back to where you were talking about last week with the super cool CPU?
Mm-hmm. But this is a little step over, though, from the super cool CPU. We're talking about the storage capacity. When you have the capacities getting bigger,
50 gigs.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a way around the gig problem, because if they get bigger, they have to spin faster and they store more information. Again, you are running into block factor. So, there is a way around that. Certainly, the hard drive becomes a little bit more difficult, but there are two very distinct ways of doing it. You make the hard drive thicker, and you do what? You stack one disk on top of another.
Start stacking.
Mm-hmm. Or you go a totally different way and use holographic memory storage. Or virtual memory.
That'd be fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Virtual memory. That'd be real fuzzy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the technology hasn't caught up with that yet.
Well, they've got the 1,000 megahertz CPU coming out now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, it would be.
Mm-hmm. And it's an ugly looking thing with heat sinks and fans. And
but let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any limit to this?
No. Huh? Look what they've got up there. You can't touch it.
We guess.
Well, I wasn't thinking about what they have. I was thinking about our advances in technology.
Well, I mean, we're going their direction, mm-hmm. but at the same time, so are they. So, computers in Hades days are going, I'm sure, at the same speed we are as far as progression.
Oh, we're going hell for leather. We're always constantly working on things.
Sure.
Now, we have little cubes that we use that we can literally pick up and pull out, and that's storage, and that holds, I don't know how many millions of, or trillions of gigs of memory. Little tiny cube.
We're at 50.
And my laptop that I carry around, it's only about yay thick, about yay big, big stand. But yeah, about yay big, yay thick. It has the equivalent, and I guesstimate, so probably, the CPU is probably about a million, or even higher. The RAM is probably about maybe 500,000, as I said, I'm guesstimating. 500,000 gigs, has a solid state generator, has a, projection scanner, you name it. It has it, and I need it.
What do you put the net with on it? T1 connection?
G1? That's slow. Was it T3? It's faster, isn't it?
Multiple T3s are really fast. Mm-hmm. I think we're maxed out with multiple T3s right now.
Mm-hmm. But that's irrelevant, to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we get instant access. Instead of the waiting, I can type in, and if I use a uplink that's connected to the sixth dimension, use from Sirius. Real-time communication with Sirius. Instead of the distance of, 6.5 light years. Real instant communication. Real-time talk.
Yeah, that's way beyond actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not done by using regular transmission, that's by using the, gap in between the dimensions and stuff.
If we can talk across the world now, it's real time.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't talk across space with that yet.
Yeah, because we are transmitting directly with a normal transmissional signal.